I want to thank those of you who led singing and did the readings. Sorry, Brandon, gave you a couple long ones, didn't I? But I do appreciate the readings and the song leading there. If you've not got the hint through the songs, we sang about heaven, we sang about working. The title of the lesson is, Are You in Your Comfort Zone? I remember years ago, I can't remember the setting, but it was a group setting, and this hypnotist was up there doing the talk, and he hypnotized the whole group of people. And one of the things he told you to do was to go to your happy place. Go to, you know, think of some place where you feel warm and safe and comfortable. And, you know, I've still got this very strong image of what that place was. I won't tell you what it looked like, but it was a comfortable place. And he says anytime you get in a stressful situation, you think about that, and it'll relax you and make you feel happy. So, but tonight we're going to talk about that comfort zone, that happy place, and getting out of it. First question is, do you consider yourself full grown? Several ways we can answer that. Physically, I topped out about 40 years ago on height. The rest of my body didn't realize that, you know, there's other places we can grow, so we've expanded in other areas, but height-wise, I haven't changed in 40 years. Mentally, hopefully, I have to ask those around me, but hopefully I've still got some room for growth there. There's always things we can learn. Emotionally, I feel like I've improved on that over the years. I don't let things bother me like I used to. I don't get all upset at work if somebody starts cussing at me over the phone. I've learned I can hang it up and I deal with it with humor usually. I'll agree with them, and then anyway, it usually works for me. But I also realized that some things that I was taking, I was doing an interview for a job years ago, and one of the questions was, what makes you cry? I thought, what kind of question is that? But it made me think, because it was an essay thing, and I had to write something out. But I came up and I realized that as I get older, seeing compassion in others, or seeing somebody being compassionate, even some of these sappy commercials, I have to, you know, get up and leave the room, go get something to eat, or, you know, but I think tears come to my eyes if I see somebody showing compassion to somebody else. But we're not going to talk about those things tonight. We're here to talk about spiritual things. So the question is, are you full grown spiritually? So at what point do we stop growing and get in our comfort zone? Are you just cruising through life now, trying to fly under the radar, hoping nobody notices you and just leaves you alone? Think about your children, those of you who have children or have had children. If they had finished the first grade, finished those ABCs and said, whew, that was tough. I've learned them now. I'm done. That's all I want to learn. I don't have any room for any more knowledge. That wouldn't be acceptable, would it? Or your teenager finishes high school and said, that was a tough 13 years. I'm through with that. So they don't care to go into college or a trade or to do anything further with their lives. They just want to take it easy at that point. These attitudes would not be acceptable to you as a parent. But what have we done, have we done the same thing at a little bit later age? Spiritually, have we just gotten to a certain point and said, you know, I've done a lot of work over the years. I'm done with it. I'm just going to sit in the pew and I'm going to take my place and I'll come to services and I won't cause trouble, but just leave me alone. In the next few minutes, the few minutes that we have tonight, our focus is going to be on this spiritual aspect of our growth or our comfort zone. We all began. In Josh's reading, he talks about being babes in Christ. We all begin our journey as Christians as babes in Christ. And if we read the Bible and we read the scriptures that refer to that, we know that that means that we're new, we're learning, we can only handle the milk of the word, the basics. but we can't stop there after we know enough to be baptized. We're told to mature towards the meat of the word, which is the more complex, the more difficult sayings in the Bible. We're to be working toward the maturity spiritually and not just remain on the milk. In Josh's reading, I'm not going to reread all these things, but on some of these readings, I'm going to pick one verse out of there and just refresh your memory. In Hebrews 5, verse 12, it says, "For when there was a time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. And there become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." That's those of us who have matured. We've been Christians for several years, but we can't answer more than a basic question about why we are what we are. Or somebody asks a Bible question, you haven't grown any. You're still that first grader, happy to know your ABCs. So we're not to remain as newborn babes in Christ, but to mature spiritually that we might be able to teach the word to others. So how do we do this? How do we grow as Christians? Is there a 12-step program that we can take to help us to learn this? If there is, I'm not aware of it, and I wouldn't want to go through it. My attention doesn't last that long. I got to be something a little more concise. But we're going to talk tonight about just little things we can do to grow as Christians. First of all, we need a goal. We sang about heaven. Brandon, in his reading in Philippians 3, talking about heaven. Excuse me. In Philippians 3, verse 13, Paul says he is forgetting what lies behind. And if you remember Paul's background, that he was persecuting the church. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And this should be our goal as well. This should be striving for that prize, the prize of heaven. So we have a goal, but then how are we going to get there? One way to learn more and to grow as Christians is to study God's word. And Noah read this in Romans 10, verses 1 through 4, and then verse 17. And in verse 17, it said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, or the word of God. So it's not according to man. We don't follow the teachings of man. We talked about the traditions of man. We're not to follow them. We think of these Bible scholars, the Billy Grahams, the Joel Osteens. We're not to follow them. What we're to learn is to come from the Bible, and we're to follow that. Some of the things they teach are not found in the Bible. And if you have any questions or you want some examples, I can give them to you later. This is a short study tonight. But they do teach some things that are opinion and modernism and things that we don't find in God's Word. So we're going to be judged by God's Word, not by traditions of men. In 2 Peter 3, 17 and 18 that Noah read, verse 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we're to grow in our knowledge of Jesus Christ, not in worldly things, secular things. We're to grow to be like Christ, Ephesians 4:15. I don't think we read that one. It says, don't be carried away with doctrines of men in verse 14. That's paraphrasing. But verse 15 says, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we're to grow to be like Christ. That's the whole word Christian is a follower of Christ, one who strives to be like Christ. And that's the way we're to be. James 1, 21 through 27 that Brandon read, verse 22, was we're to do God's word, not just hear it. We can't just spend our life in a exercise of learning verses and just drilling on text and things like that. That's good, but then we have to do it. If we don't do it, then we're wasting our time with the other. So we have to do it, and that's what we're going to talk about here in the next few minutes. I'm going to get some practical ways. I'm just going to name a few. I'm sure you can come up with a lot more than I am, but some practical ways we can grow spiritually. And if you can just come up with one way yourself, just one improvement in your life tonight, then this lesson will be worth it. I'm guessing 40 of us here. We got 40 people doing one more thing than they're doing now. And that's 40 more things that we're doing for Christ. So let's just think about some things that we can do. First one I'm going to address to the men, because there's some things, according to the scripture, that the man can do in the public worship that the women are not allowed to do, and that's lead in worship. Think of something that you're not doing now that you can do, something different than what you're doing now. And if you'd like to do something, if you're not leading a prayer, if you're not leading singing and you have that ability, or giving lessons, talk to one of the deacons. I'm sure they'd be happy to find a spot for you. And I talked with Leonard yesterday, and he's agreed to on the Wednesday night lessons. That's a great way to start off. Let him know ahead of time, but you know, I'm not sure how we'll organize this, but if any of you men have a lesson you want to give, a short invitation, Wednesday night's not a sermon. It's like a 5-minute invitation, so think of it as a 5-minute lesson you can give. He's agreed and to give up his 5 minutes and let one of you men do it. I'll be happy to take him up on that every once in a while myself. Excuse me. But think of something. If with Brett leaving us, there's going to be a gap in the, I'm sure the song leaders, we don't want to overwork the others, so there'll be a spot for somebody else to help out with the song leading. So these are practical things that we can do. And if any of you have that ability, be happy to let the deacons know, and they'll work you in. Now back to everybody. That was the men. Now this could be anybody. Teaching a class. We don't have a whole lot of class opportunity for teachers here, but if you want to teach a class and you're not doing so now, if you think you'd like to do that, maybe you're a beginner, you've never taught a class before. I'm sure it'd be good if you go in with an experienced teacher and sit with them and learn a little bit about it. I know the last year about this time, the ladies were having their series of lessons back there. And that was a huge encouragement to me, and I'm sure the ladies in particular. But I was excited about it. Every time I'd drive into services, I'd ask Marianne, "Who's teaching tonight?" And she'd tell me, and then afterwards we'd discuss it. And from what she told me, every one of them was an excellent lesson. So, and it was a good experience for some of you who don't do it on a regular basis to volunteer and to get out there and prepare a lesson. You learn a whole lot more as a teacher than you do as students. Anybody who's taught knows that. So it's good for you, and it's good to stretch your ability a little bit. Jump out there and do something that's not in your comfort zone. And this is things that any of us can do. We're good at this. I'm not criticizing, but when visitors come, sometimes I hog them, I realize that, but if they're sitting near me, I'll look around, everybody's gone, and I'm still talking to the visitors, so I apologize for that. But come over and interrupt me, but catch them out in the auditorium. It's encouraging to me, but I visit a lot. As you know, we're gone quite a bit visiting kids, grandkids, so we worship in other places, but when people come up and introduce themselves, it's an encouragement to me, especially when the young people do it. That kind of catches me off guard sometimes, but it's a real encouragement that they do that. You don't have to have a whole lot to say to them. Just stick your hand out and tell them your name, and hopefully they'll tell you their name. So just tell them you're glad they're here. That's all you got to do. But talk to the visitors. Make them feel welcome. We know of one situation. There's a couple that I'm not going to say where it is, but they attended two different congregations. One had a lot more classes, a lot more of this and that, but they went to the smaller one and just said they were just a lot more friendly. We felt more welcome there. So that means a whole lot to people to know that you're welcome someplace. So talk to visitors. Be a visible example to your kids or grandkids. Let them see you preparing your lesson. Let them make sure you pray. You know, when you have dinner, let them see you worshiping God and show that you are devoted to God. Let them see you studying your Bible. I remember growing up, I always saw my mom preparing lessons, and of course my dad all the time too. But just watching them do it really meant a lot to me and made me realize that they're doing it. They're not going to let me get away with not doing it. So be an example for your kids and grandkids. Also, Speaking of Bible classes, if you're looking for one thing that you can do that maybe you're not doing now, study for the lesson. Before you come here on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, you know what the lesson's going to be. Study as if you're going to have to teach it. That sheds a whole new light on it. You're going to study a whole lot harder. But study, and you men, study in case Leonard calls in sick and you got to teach it. But be really ready for it. You learn a lot more if you've done the preparation beforehand. If you're hearing it for the first time, you're lucky to get half of it. So study like you're gonna be teaching it. Things we can do every day, of course, we talk about these. Be an example. Some of our people we work with and our classmates at school, they're not going to read the Bible, but they can see how a Christian lives by watching you. Show hospitality. I think we're good at that too. But you know, just let people get to know the people. I've been here 2 years. We moved here. We started my job 2 years this week, so we've been here a little over 2 years. And I'm ashamed to say there's still some of you I don't know that well. I know your name, but don't really know you as a person, and that's my fault. But get to know your brethren, so you can help them when they need it. If we don't know them, it's hard to help them. We don't know when there's a problem. Encourage those who lead in worship. I'm not asking you to pat me on the back when I walk out. I'm just, but there have been times where I've preached or done something in worship, and somebody I hardly know will call me or they'll send me a card, and that's amazing to me that they took that amount of time to let me know that they appreciated what I said, or it could be, you know, nice try or something, but you know, just something to let them know that you heard it. And I've had calls out of the blue sometime, and then I have to figure out who they are, and then I realize it was somebody at the congregation, and they were just telling me that. I remember one lady used to call and say, "I'm praying for your family." I mean, we had nothing in specific, but they said, "I'm praying. I want you to know that I'm praying for you." And that was another eye opener for me. That made me feel good. When you pray. If you're praying at home in private, you know, be specific. Don't just say thank you for our blessings. You know, name all the blessings you can think of, and you could go all night if you start getting specific. But you know, be specific in your prayers as to who you're praying for and what you're praying for. I invite people to Bible study. We talk about that a lot. I mean, just invite them to a Bible study. Now that we're going to do this, hopefully this big picture of the Bible, just tell them, hey, I've got a Bible study that I'd like for you to go through. It takes about an hour. And maybe if you're not comfortable doing it, say one of the men will be happy to go. I'll sit in here with you, and one of the men will be happy to go through it with you. But it's I'm not quite ready to start teaching it yet. I'm getting close, but I'm not quite there. But it's an excellent, excellent short lesson just to give everybody an overview of what the Bible is all about. And most people are confused about that. Like, you hear it in sections, you never get the big forest. You get caught behind the trees and you never see the big picture. So this will be a good thing for us to all do. Even if you don't want to teach it, there'll probably be several here that are willing to do that. So this is not an exhaustive list. I'm sure you can come up with something. Think of something personal, something that you can do to improve as a Christian, something that'll get you a little bit out of your comfort zone. Do something that you're capable of doing, but you just maybe have a false sense of modesty. You know, there's other people that can do that better than I can, so I'm not going to do it. But you know, leading a public prayer, it can be nerve-wracking. We all make mistakes. I've made so many mistakes, and every man who's done it has made mistakes, I'm guessing. You know, leading singing, we make mistakes. You know, anything that we do, we're human, we're going to make some mistakes. So don't not do it because you think you're going to make a mistake. We're all on your side. We're all here to support you, encourage you. We want you to try. If somebody's trying, then you know, we're all going to sing out or whatever and be there for you. So just do one thing more than you currently do. Jesus left his comfort zone. He left heaven. to come to this world, and he suffered humiliation, torture, and death at the hands of man. We should be willing to do anything to please him and grow in our faith toward him. Are you afraid of embarrassing yourself? He wasn't ashamed to be nailed to a cross for you. Philippians 2:8 says, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. You can't grow as a Christian if you haven't been baptized into Christ. If you're not a Christian, then this lesson really, I don't know if it helps you or not. But you have to become a Christian before you can grow. But we want you to all, if you're not a Christian, we want you to think about these things seriously. Think about what Christ did for you and think about how you can repay him. The only way we can really repay him is by following him, being a follower of him, being Christians ourselves. If you'd like that opportunity, then we encourage you to come forward tonight as we sing this song.